This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. Harvey Weinstein could be returning to California soon, and we'll talk to a former president of the National Association of Black Journalists about that Donald Trump appearance today. But first, Rancho Palos Verdes is holding a meeting tonight to answer questions about the shifting land that's forcing gas to be shut off to more than 130 homes. Now there are worries that the power could get turned off next. Karen Adams has more.
I spoke with Mike Toll about how he and his family are holding up. In a word, he's frustrated.
Frustration with the way that the city has handled this really for the last 20 years. Frustration with right now with the way SoCal Gas has handled this. Frustration really also with the unknown. We don't know if we win or if the land's going to stop moving. We don't know when or if the power is going to be disconnected. We don't know when or if Cal Water is going to pull out and our water is going to be disconnected. And, you know, for a lot of these people, there's 145 homes up here. And these neighbors, a lot of them have lived there for years and years and years. My parents bought up here in 1972. And, you know, of the 145 homes, maybe 20 have damage. But the rest of the homes are being punished by having their utilities removed because the utility companies, it appears to be, are unwilling to reroute the lines.
He says the utility company should route everything from the west side of the neighborhood where the land is not moving.
Convicted rapist Harvey Weinstein may be extradited to California after Governor Newsom signed a warrant. He's currently in New York where he's facing retrial for charges there and has been convicted on rape charges in California. That conviction still under appeal. A New York appeals court overturned his convictions there, but the underlying charges against him remain. He's in a medical facility in New York, reportedly suffering from COVID infection, double pneumonia, and other health conditions. Hundreds of firefighters from around the state working on the Nixon Fire in Riverside County near the border with San Diego County. Let's connect live now with Pete Dimitrio.
The good news is the Nixon Fire has slowed down its spread from what it was in the past 2 days, but at nearly 5,000 acres, that's about 8 square miles, roughly the size of the city of Santa Monica, they've only got 5% containment on it and weather conditions at 99 degrees and 18% humidity with gusting winds. Well, it's nowhere near being brought under control. Riverside Fire Captain Dan Potter says a lot of crews are out on the line on a rotating basis.
We got about 800 ground forces trying to get our containment lines higher, because they're anticipating a thunder cell to come through starting maybe tomorrow, which will increase the winds, and hopefully our containment lines will keep this fire from growing anymore.
Now, in addition to the ground crews and the bulldozers, helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft are on call. Occasionally, they're brought in to hit hot spots that are burning in a combination of rolling hills and steep canyons, and they're also extending FOSCheck lines on the perimeter. Rob, the goal for tonight and tomorrow, keep the fire from moving south into San Diego County, where there are homes and other structures 3 to 4 miles ahead in the path of the fire.
Thanks, Pete. People living in an assisted living facility in Pasadena had to be evacuated last night after a power outage, a fire, and flooding from a sprinkler system. Natalie Tavidian reports.
A lot of residents who live here are either low income or have physical challenges. They were evacuated Tuesday night. The Salvation Army and LA County Emergency Management had to rehome some of them. A few units have been red tagged. This is Zim. He's lived here for 12 years and tells me a lot of people are homeless right before moving in. He was able to get back into his unit.
We pay 30% of our income. Since I'm one of the people that has a job, I work at Smart and Final over here on Fair Oaks. So that's even worse. Like, I have to pay to live here where my life is in danger on a regular basis. We have plumbing and all of this problems. People slip and fall. People die in this building from overdoses all the time.
The building is right next to Pasadena City Hall. It's owned by Abode Communities, not the city of Pasadena. The local nonprofit Union Station Homeless Services provides case management on site. Abode Communities tells residents that fire restoration and maintenance crews are on site and will continue to work on the site to ensure adequate cleanup. In Pasadena, I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News 97.1 FM.
The LAPD says there has been a 40% increase in residential burglaries in a very specific area of Encino. LA City Councilmember who reps that part of LA describes it as a cluster of burglaries in recent weeks. Nithya Raman tells Craig Figner LAPD has ramped up patrols. They're joining forces with the Sheriff's Department.
We actually saw a smaller cluster in Studio City a few weeks earlier than that. And we are doing everything that the city can to ensure that this cluster stops. LAPD is doing more patrols. A neighbor commented that she actually saw horse patrols in her street yesterday. And the cluster has been elevated to the commercial burglary task force, which means that there will be interjurisdictional communication between the sheriff's department and LAPD, and that LAPD will receive additional investigative resources to identify who are the culprits.
Are you confident this will help tamp it down?
Well, you never know what's going to happen, but I am working as hard as possible to ensure that this stops. No one should have to live in fear in this city, and my hope is that the fear for the residents of Encino will end.
LAPD says not just Encino, residential break-ins are up 4% citywide so far this year. A UC system is going to need a new leader soon, and we talked to a former Olympian who is in Paris for the 2024 Games. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues.
Campaign 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Donald Trump facing a lot of backlash for mocking the heritage of Kamala Harris.
I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black.
And Trump talking at a Q&A session held with reporters, part of the annual convention of the National Association of Black Journalists in Chicago. Joining us now live from Chicago, a former president of the NABJ, Bob Butler, who worked many years as a radio reporter in San Francisco. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
Sal, the association did take some heat for having Donald Trump there in the first place. What do you think of that? What are your thoughts?
Well, a lot of people don't realize we've invited the presidential candidates for decades to come and address journalists here. A lot of times they don't do it, but I will say that in 2004, George W. Bush came along with John Kerry. In 2008, we had Obama and Hillary Clinton. John McCain did not come. In 2012, Obama was running for re-election. He sent Joe Biden. Mitt Romney did not come. In 2016, Hillary Clinton came. Donald Trump declined the invitation. So Donald Trump is actually the first Republican to accept this invitation from NABJ since George W. Bush in 2004.
And what was the audience reaction like? We could hear some of it. There was some laughter. There were a few audible gasps. Was anyone in the audience happy with the things he was saying?
Oh, there were a few people there that I think clapped a few times when he talked about immigration. But for the most part, this audience was a bunch of journalists for the most part, more than 3,000. Our attendance so far is more than 4,000 journalists and media professionals here. The people that were in that room wanted to hear the former president speak were, for the most part, journalists. And you're right. I mean, when his very first statement, when he was asked about previous racist comments, he attacked the questioner and said that she was rude and it was a horrible way for her to talk to him. There was an audible gasp in the audience when he said that, along with the audible gasp when he talked about Kamala Harris and whether she was black or South Asian.
There was a delay before Donald Trump came out. He says it was due to technical issues, but the New York Times reporting that it was over his not wanting to be fact-checked. What have you heard?
The fact-checking is what's making the rounds around here, is that he opposed any kind of live fact-checking by PolitiFact and our own journalists here. I don't know what the full reason was. He said it was because of the equipment, but the equipment was working just fine. We were supposed to start at 12:30. We didn't start till 1:20, and a lot of that delay, we believe, is partly is because Trump wasn't here yet. But we keep hearing the same thing about him not wanting to be fact-checked.
And Rachel Scott, the moderator, made mention that the campaign people told them it was over early. I think right as a question about Project 2025 is being asked, what do you know about that?
I don't know anything more than what you've read, but Rachel Scott definitely did say live on the stage that she's been told by the campaign that they have to stop. I've talked to many people who think the campaign knew it was going very badly and wanted to put an end to it. So that would not surprise me, but I don't have any real evidence of that. But when you think about the reason Trump came here, I thought was to try to garner some support from black voters. It wasn't going well at all, so I'm not surprised it stopped. I would not be surprised if the campaign stopped it.
And when will Kamala Harris be making an appearance?
Well, we've invited the vice president. We were not able to work out any kind of a live appearance here because of her schedule. She had events in Texas. Tomorrow she gives the eulogy for Sheila Jackson Lee, and she has campaign events on Friday. And I don't find that to be a big surprise because she's only been the candidate for president for just, you know, for under 2 weeks. So there's a lot for them to get done. I do believe that this is a missed opportunity for her to make her case before more than 3,000 journalists.
All right. Former president of the NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists, Bob Butler, worked also for many years as a radio reporter in San Francisco. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
All right, Rob. Take care.
An Olympic gold medal winning swimmer from Newport Beach in Paris for the Summer Games is a fan this time. Melanie Thomas says she and her family spent most of the day watching beach volleyball with the Eiffel Tower in the background. They're going to watch swimming tomorrow.
Being indoors will help because it was very humid today. I felt bad for the volleyball girls. It was a really difficult, you know, weather to play in, and it kind of rained a little bit. So looking forward to being inside. Watching swimming, that's my element. I know everything about it.
And Thomas won gold in Atlanta in 1996 for the USA swimming in the 4x100-meter freestyle relay. She met Snoop Dogg today, says he was nice.
Here I am. You say, hey, can I have a selfie? But totally cool. And you can tell he was really into watching the volleyball. I mean, he wasn't just there being Snoop. He was a fan. And the U.S. was playing, and they killed it. So, good all around.
And Thomas says she's hoping to trade Olympic pins with Snoop, but he did not have any to trade.